This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
And a very good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson, and I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll-free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. We're going to talk with John Neal today, talk about the hockey in this settlement. I mean, it seemed like it took so long to settle hockey. I'm sort of wondering, we have any further repercussions from this? Will we have other further stoppages and work stoppages? And if we do, will that take a toll on the game? I'm sort of wondering, because we've had quite a few work stoppages in the last few years, so I'm just wondering, will it ever come to a stop, or will it be willing to settle quicker? I guess it's a question that we can't answer, but let's talk with our good friend John Neal and talk about some of the things going on in hockey. John, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good, Earl. How are you?
Hey, doing good. Yeah, do you think we're going to have any more lockouts or long-term lockouts? I mean,
I think the only good news that has come out of the last 2 years with, you know, NFL, then the NBA, and now NHL is they all, and it was a kind of a sticking point towards the end of this last one, was they all agreed on deals that are essentially, you know, 10-year deals. You know, there's an out clause after 8 years in this one. But at least we've got, I think, labor peace on all fronts now for at least the next several years. And that, I mean, that was part of the goal, obviously, of these, and part of the reason why these were maybe tougher negotiations than we've had in other instances. But, yeah, that's certainly one of the goals, the stability, because it's part of the trade-off. It, you know, sponsors and corporate, you know, money wants stability as much as anything else, and so do these owners. They want to know what, you know, what the rules are, not just for a year or two, but for many years. And so that's what they've been fighting about. It doesn't make the fan feel any better about, you know,
right,
sitting around without hockey, or it certainly doesn't make in the city of Detroit, for example, all the businesses that and people who rely on it directly for income, it doesn't make them feel any better about what they lost the last few months. But now that it is done, there is some peace, peace in our time, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing with hockey. It's all these other businesses that are so integral, you know, has a big piece of the sport, and, you know, and trying to make some money off of it and make a living on their own, and yet they're shut out. It just makes you wonder, can hockey really ever get the problem solved, or will we just wait to have to see another stoppage? Because a lot of owners still aren't happy with the situation. A lot of players still aren't happy with the situation that they settled on this time.
Yeah, no, and that's, I mean, and I guess the folly of all of it is, you know, as soon as the last deal was signed, you could hear people already saying, well, this isn't going to work.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you just knew that as soon as that, you know, deadline CBA was up, that we were going to go through this all over again. And sure enough, when it came, you know, it did. The part that the average fan, or, you know, certainly the person who's, like we said, relying on this for income in one way or another, is, you know, they could have done this in the summertime. Deadlines are what make deals. We all know that. But by setting the deadline for the CBA at the start of the season, as opposed to, you know, start of the off season, they forced this on themselves in terms of how, if we can't get a deal, we're going to miss games, we're going to lose part of the season. Where if, you know, in the NFL's case, the deal expired before free agency and before the off season, and so sure, they, you know, they were locked out for months, but they didn't lose any games, and they didn't, you know, it didn't affect fans, it didn't affect, you know, a lot of people, whereas this had affected everybody. And that's the frustrating part. And then when you see them negotiating, and everybody knows where the middle point is, where the middle ground is, where the deal has to be. You know, you could walk up to some stranger on the street, ask him, you know, show him the two arguments, and and say, well, where's the deal to be made? And they could tell you where the deal is going to be made, and sure enough, that's where it is. But, you know, it was taking back, you know, it wasn't a give and take. It was a take because the owners were determined to you know, take back more of the
yeah,
pie,
more,
as it were.
More
so, you know, so that's what makes it tough. As players, you know, they're sitting there saying, well, how much do we have to give every time? All we do is give.
And, yeah.
You know, you can understand the argument, but it doesn't make any of the, you know, us who are on the outside to understand it any better, really.
Yes, because that's what makes it tough. I mean, the owners now have the players down to giving up 50%, and we know that the next CBA, they're going to try to make sure they get it under 50%, which would be for another long lockout.
Yeah, and the other part of it is, too, is, you know, they had worked so hard and done a lot of good things to improve the game and to really build the game to where, you know, record revenues and all of that, and the players certainly were part of that, and so here you are at essentially what is the peak, and you're saying everything's a disaster, and it's just hard to sort of stomach that or swallow that if you're a player, because look, you know, revenues were at $3.2 billion or whatever, and going up, and you know, so salaries were going up obviously, and you know. And then a lot of the other things are, well, they need to make it more bulletproof for themselves because, you know, player contracting rights was a big sticking point. Well, that's the GMs that are finding ways to you know, work around the salary cap, to, you know, signing guys to these 12, 13-year deals that look silly and are back-diving deals and everything else. And, you know, but that's not – is that the player's fault? No, not really, you know. That's management's fault, you know, and yet, you know, management – is different in Detroit than it is in, you know, Tampa Bay or Carolina or Phoenix, because this league is you know, still a lot of haves and have-nots, and there's not the revenue sharing probably there that needs to be there.
Yeah, I know one thing I've noticed over the years is that the management usually garners all the sympathy. I've always wondered, why does management get so much sympathy and the players get so little?
Well, you know, exactly. I tend to agree with you, and I generally side with you know, the players' side in these arguments, because look, yeah, these guys, you know, they're selling, you know, what the Seattle Supersonics are getting the team back maybe, but you know, Sacramento's getting sold for $500 million. They, you know, they can cry poor along the way, but you know, the value of the franchise is multiplying exponentially. So don't cry poor, but at the same time, you know, yeah, player salaries have skyrocketed too. So in you know, this last summer, you had guys like Ryan Suter signing this deal that everybody knew didn't make any sense for the new CBA, but they were getting it done, you know, before the CBA.
Yeah.
He was getting $10 million of lockout insurance essentially with the signing bonus and everything else, and for him to sit there and say, I don't understand how this owner could lie when he signed this. I mean, well, it was a two-way street, and that, you know, so there's some of that. I get that, but yeah, it's the league trying to solve its problems without really solving its problems in too many cases, and I think this lockout was another one example of that.
Well, let's see how this game will affect the ice. I mean, I was reading Greg Cooper's story today on how Howard sees how the goalies are going to have the rough time. What, other than just goalies having a rough time, how do you see this game shaping up on the ice?
Well, it is, you know, we've always said that the regular season's too long, so we can't complain too much. They
right.
can't complain too much about it. But it is true. It is, you know, the parity in the NHL is, you know, has gotten to the point within the salary cap era where really it's a toss-up. You know, very little separates, you know, the fifth seed from, you know, the tenth team that's not in the playoffs. And this year it's going to be even more so with the shorter schedule. So, yeah, if you get off to a rough start, you know, or if you got a goalie who's struggling early, you know, there will be quite a bit of that. I would expect, and or if you get, you know, a couple key injuries. I mean, the Wings have certainly had that in the recent years, where, you know, a month kind of gets lost because of, you know, significant injuries. If you get that, you might be cooked in terms of making the playoffs because there's just not time to catch up. There's not time for the generally the better teams to rise above it. So the Wings have always been good at getting off to a good start, not always, but mostly been good at getting off to a good start. I would think the fact that, you know, the team is largely intact and, you know, coaching staff is in place, and yeah, there'll be a lot of changes, obviously some players missing that we'll talk about, but I think they're in a good position, especially because their top two players were playing overseas in Europe and playing well, and sort of really in not mid-season form, but close to it, so that will help. But yeah, you got to get up to a good start, and then yeah, goalies, Jimmy Howard's in kind of a, he's in a contract year, and really still, he's always telling him he has to prove himself. This is another example of where he's really going to have to maybe carry the load, because that guy, number five, whose jersey won't go into the rafters this year but probably will next year, isn't back there on defense anymore, and they're going to miss Nick Lidstrom a lot, and we'll see that from game one, I would imagine.
So it's going to be a very interesting hockey season. There's no doubt about that. Hey, give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. We come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, we invite you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870. I know it's hard to project or anything right now, but of the 32 teams, do you see any surprises at all? Will we get one or two surprise teams, or will things sort of just go along like they did last year?
No, I think we'll see some surprises. Maybe the surprise is that there is no surprise teams anymore because, you know, last year we had, I think I went and looked it up, January 19th last year, which is essentially when they're going to start this year, we think, that exact date. You had L.A. was in, I can't remember, 8th place. I mean, they were below 500.
Yep.
And New Jersey was right behind them in the East in terms of, you know, points. And they ended up playing for the, you know, for the cup, in the cup finals with L.A. winning it. And L.A. came in as an 8 seed, you know. So that's the way hockey has gone. There's teams, you know, there's Pittsburgh, you'd have to think, is one of those teams that's going to be, you know, the odds-on favorite. You know, Vancouver's still there. And, you know, some of those teams. But, you know, last year, again, proved that it really doesn't matter. And once you get into the all it is getting into the playoffs and then, you know, you get a hot goaltender or somebody who's got a hot hand, you get a team that gets rolling early in the first round, and suddenly you've got a Stanley Cup champion. So it is going to be interesting, though. Some teams had more guys playing in Europe. That might help them early on. Some teams may just get stuck with kind of a screwy schedule, you know, because you are going to still have these long road trips, and somebody's going to get stuck with one early on, and maybe that's, you know, derails them right off the start. I mean, the Wings, for instance, are going to start, we think, we don't have a schedule yet, but sounds like they're going to start maybe with the first couple games on the road here, and, you know, if you lose a couple, and, you know, who knows how that affects you getting out of the gate, but yeah, there are going to be there's some new faces. Rick Nash, you know, changed teams, you know, some of these, there were some significant moves. Minnesota obviously has $200 million on two players last summer, so now they've got to, you know, produce Ryan Suter and Zach Parise, so it'll be interesting to see how those guys are with the new team. And there's a lot of intrigue, and then you never know. Officiating is always an issue in the NHL, and I would imagine with the layoff, those guys are a little rusty too, and so we're going to have a lot of power plays and some weird games early on.
Yeah, it's going to be quite a challenge for people in hockey. It's definitely going to be a challenge for all the other sports. Like you say, we avoided a long layoff in basketball and in baseball, and now we've got hockey, and now we've got all these sports competing at the same time for revenue. I just keep wondering, I keep saying it year after year, keep saying that eventually revenue is going to have to go down. Do you see it ever going down, or do you see it just constantly with a slight up crease?
Well, you know, it's a good question. The NHL before, I mean, they were able, for all of Gary Bettman's fault, then I can't imagine what it's going to be like if he tries to present the Stanley Cup trophy in June, end of June this year. I mean, he always gets booed, but he might want to stay away this time. If he's still in the office, I mean, there's been discussion about maybe now is the time for him to step away, too. But, you know, they did land a pretty decent TV deal, maybe one that surprised some people in terms of, you know, with NBC Sports, that I think helped them, and it was part of their, you know, pre-lockout, you know, war chest was having that deal in their back pocket. And so I think it's still going to continue to go up. Now, it'll be interesting to see. Bettman came out and apologized yesterday, which, of course, did nobody any good. But I'll be interested to see what teams do in terms of ticket prices or sort of apologizing financially to their fans. And, you know, it would be nice to see a lot of it. I just don't know how much we will see, especially with the shortened season and everybody trying to recoup, you know, some money in terms of sponsors and everything else. So, but it will be interesting. It'll be interesting to see if there's some empty seats. And, you know, there will maybe not so many in Detroit, but
yeah, I think so.
Dallas, some of these other non-traditional places where, you know, people have probably forgotten. You know, about the
sport. Yes, because the Florida, you know, they expanded so quickly, yeah, all over the country, and just to get that extra revenue. But
right.
I like to say,
deal, and that was part of the, that was always the carrot was, well, if we, you know, expand in the U.S., the southern U.S., well, that's how we're going to get a national TV deal. Mm-hmm. And it really hasn't panned out, as we all know, but this last TV deal was at least a victory in that regard. It'll be, you know, like a team like Columbus, they lose Rick Nash, you know, probably, and, you know, they lost the All-Star game that was supposed to be this year, and fans really haven't had a taste of any success at all in the years they've been there, and so do people keep showing up? I don't know.
It'll be very interesting to see, that's for sure, John. Hey, John, the time is 22 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. It's always nice talking with you. Right now, we need to take a short break right here on WKAR East Lansing.
Recent attacks in India and Steubenville, Ohio, have put rape in the headlines. But how much of what we think we know about rape is riddled with myth and misinformation? I'm Celeste Headlee. What we know about rape, who does it and why, who the victims are, and who reports it. Next, Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
We'll see partly sunny skies this afternoon and a high temperature in the mid-40s. Then comes the rain tonight, isolated thunderstorms. Some thunderstorms may produce heavy rainfall. We'll see a low in the mid-30s. Light rain continues until midday Friday, then a good chance of showers in the afternoon and a high in the lower 50s. This is Kevin Lavery.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527 or toll-free, 877-952-7870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.com. .org. Well, before we let you go, John, not a big surprise, but, you know, we got the news today about how Junior Seau had a degenerative brain disease, which was no surprise coming, but it's just disappointing. And I know they're trying to change the rules to make the game safer. I'm all for that, but boy, you just have to wonder how long is it going to take before the rules really change and kick in.
Yeah, no, and it's, you know, the day he died, the day he killed himself, you know, we were all stunned, shocked, and yet mm-hmm. at the same time, we were all sort of thinking the same thing. And I remember I wrote about it that next day. I called some people. I talked to Lem Barney, the Lions Hall of Famer, and, you know, he's been a pretty active guy among the retired players and talking about, you know, issues that affect guys after their playing career is over. And it's a multifaceted issue. I mean, there's beyond the medical concerns there, you know, there's emotional, psychological concerns with guys in terms of just how do they fill that void when they're done playing. And, you know, there's who knows what all led to in Seau's case, but the news today that he also did show signs of, you know, the degenerative brain trauma CTE that we've, you know, they're starting to do a lot of research on and continuing to do, and his family donated his brain to this research. And I talked to Barney about it the next day, and he was saying the same thing a lot of former players were saying, is, you know, this isn't going to get better. It's only going to get worse. We're going to keep seeing more, you know, you see these guys taking themselves out, as he put it, and it just makes you wonder, you know, what's next, who's next, you know, and guys are legitimately scared about, you know, what they've done to themselves. And, you know, Barney is the guy who thought he never had a concussion playing. I mean, he says that, you know, not entirely seriously, because he knows he got his bell rung, as they used to say, and still do say in a lot of ways. But he went to the doctor because he was seeing, you know, he's having trouble, and you know, his eye doctor, and he looked at his eye, and he showed him, you know, some scans, and said, see all these spots? You know, those are concussions, and, you know, 7 or 8 of them on it, you know, on his, you know, his scans. And so he thought, wow, you know, that's what I've been dealing with. That's what, you know, I mean, the guys are worried that inside them is a ticking time bomb in some cases. And so all we can do is say, please do more research. Please invest more money in the research and at least talk about it, because, yeah, it's not going to go away. And it's only going to get worse the more, you know, the more awareness is raised, the more we're going to find out about it. But, I mean, we've had multiple suicides among former NFL players here in the last couple of years, and that's troubling. It's the only way to say it.
Yes, it is very troubling. Hopefully, they can change it, because we know, you know, it really starts. It doesn't start in college. A lot of people think it just starts in high school and college. But,
oh yeah, exactly. Kids. I mean, I got 3 little kids. One of them, a boy who wants to play football. So what do you do? You know, how do you protect your kids playing football? Because, you know, there are safeguards in place at higher levels of football. You know, still maybe not enough, but at lower levels, you worry about, you know, what kids are, you know, how safe kids are. And that's, I think every parent should be feeling that right now.
Yes, I would say so, too. Hey, John, I want to thank you for being with me. Always a pleasure talking with you, my friend. And I'll call you back again, and we'll talk some more sports. You know, there's always a lot to talk about, and we can certainly cover a lot of it.
Yes, sir. It was good talking to you, too. We got Big Ten basketball heating up. Should be fun.
Yes, it should. Okay. Hey, thanks a lot, John.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Yeah, bye-bye. And that's John Neal from the Detroit News talking sports with us right here on AM 870. And John made a good presentation talking about Big Ten basketball. We see Michigan State playing against Iowa tonight. Should be a good one. And so let me get your opinion, Aaron. What will it take for Michigan State to beat Iowa? I think everyone thinks Iowa is, I mean, Michigan State is a better team, but it's just because you're a better team doesn't mean you're going to win the game.
Yeah, excuse me. I mean, everyone knows that the Big Ten overall is pretty good this year. I mean, you know, there's some, you know, obviously Michigan State beat up on Purdue pretty good the other night, but, you know, for the most part, the Big Ten's pretty good, so you got to come prepared. And I think we had the assistant head coach on the other day, and it really doesn't, you know, the score indicated that. And even Izzo pointed it out the other day, you know, sure they whomped on him, but the reality is, you know, the score may have showed that, but it, you know, it got away at the end or something, or, you know, when they went on their first game, you know, on the road against Minnesota, the game was close until the last couple minutes, you know, Minnesota pulled away, just a couple things broke down for Michigan State. So, against Iowa, yeah, I mean, I think Michigan State will probably win this one. Again, I think it's just a continuation of the team, you know, kind of getting a feel for each other, working with each other, limiting the turnovers is always an issue, you know, and everyone just, you know, trying to play at their best, trying not to do too much, everyone, you know, knowing their role. So, you know, I don't think this is going to be a big challenge, but like you said, it's the Big Ten, you know, like I said, it's the Big Ten this year. So, you know, anything is possible, I suppose. And it's college basketball, so that's always the fun part of it, too.
Yes, I didn't get a chance to ask John, but let me ask you this. With hockey so much, do you see hockey ever expanding. I mean, hockey has held its own and it stays at a consistent level, but it's not really expanding on the upswing of getting more and more people in the stands. Do you see hockey just staying at the level, maybe dwindling, getting off course a little bit, going downward, or do you see it at all expanding much more?
I think there's several parts to it. Anytime I look at an organization, I always kind of see what are they doing to try to expand. I think any sport, football, basketball, baseball, whatever. I mean, those, they're revenue sports, so their main goal is to make money. I always kind of look at, okay, what is the organization? What are the managers doing? What are the leaders doing in that field to expand the team or expand the sport? NFL, obviously, we all know, has done a pretty good job the last handful of years to expand that sport. It helps with the advent of technology like HD TVs and all that good stuff. But, for hockey, I don't know. I think it's always has been and always is going to kind of be a sport that's popular with its own people. It's definitely never going to reach the level of football or.
It's more like a niche sport.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to reach the level of baseball or basketball or football. But I think and there's certain teams that, just attendance-wise, Phoenix is one that, they're just not getting the people there or haven't been for a while. And there's other clubs around the league that are doing the same thing. And, a lot of people come down on Bettman, as do I. And so, I don't know what he's doing to help the sport any. But it's always going to be one of those sports. Does it have the potential to expand and get more attention? Possibly, TV, contracts play a role in that. I will say that I think the NBC Sports Network, that contract that they have, was great for hockey. They had a shot, I believe, at ESPN, but I don't think they wanted it. I don't know if you ever remember trying to watch a game on Versus for hockey. It was difficult to watch, to say the least, but NBC Sports has done a pretty darn good job of making hockey more pleasing to watch from that standpoint. There's various elements to it. Can they expand? Absolutely. Will they? If they do, it's not going to be much, and I think it's going to take, I think just years of kind of building and building and building. It's a sport that a lot of young – I used to play it, and I think it's a sport that a lot of young kids play. Unfortunately, it's an expensive sport to play, and you usually have to – it takes a lot of traveling, too. It's not like there's this ice rinks every, 5 miles to play hockey at. So, unfortunately, that's another part of it. It's not like basketball. You got a basketball hoop. Well, a lot of people have basketball hoops in their own backyard.
Yeah.
You don't have a hockey rink in your own backyard.
That's true.
So it's not like it's easy for young people to go play hockey. There's a lot of gear involved. The gear is expensive. All that good stuff. So I don't think it's ever going to reach that popularity again, for another reason, for the fact that it's just not as easy as a sport to just go out in your backyard and play and come home from school and play. So that's another reason. So there's various elements to it. Will it get there? I hope. I think it will eventually, but it's gonna take a long time, I think, to really expand to maybe what some people envision.
Yeah, I sort of wonder about that too with basketball, because, like you say, basketball is a sport that a lot of people have can play out in their driveway, have a ball in the driveway, but at least on the pro level, college level, it's holding its own pretty good. And on the pro level, it's holding its own pretty good. But on the pro level, you only have, out of the 32 teams or the 30 teams, you only have about 6 or 7 really good teams. And you have a lot of just mediocre teams in basketball. And everybody likes to go see the better teams, which is understandable. And then on top of that, you don't see a lot of movement as far as free agency. Guys, when they get to be free agents, a lot of them like to move to a major city. They don't like to move to one of the smaller towns. So that seems to be a problem with basketball.
Yeah, that's true. And I think we've seen evidence of that probably the last handful of years. more, you know, more easily in the sense of, you know, LeBron going to Miami, a high profile town, you know, Dwight Howard going to L.A. You know, it's not like he was going to go to Milwaukee and play for the, you know, so, yeah, I mean, that's true. It's basketball. You're right. There's only a handful of teams that you can legitimately say, oh, this is a great team. After that, you kind of like, okay, it's a good team. And then there's a handful that's just like, you know, you know, there might be some college, you know, no college team is going to beat an NBA team. But, you know, I think most people understand my point. But, yeah, you know, again, it's, you know, most kids have, even in, you know, you can pick up, you know, you see it in the streets. There's people roll out the basketball hoop in the street and just start practicing away. So, you know, that's the problem with NBA. It's just, you know, A lot of kids play it, but they just never get to that level. And sometimes the NBA just, you know, it's just going to be that way. You know, there's going to be phases. There's going to be years where there's a lot of good teams where it's kind of equal. But right now, I think for the last handful of years, it's kind of been consistent in the sense of, you know, the high-profile players go where they want. And then they usually get their way. And they go where they want. And then, you know, there's only a handful of teams that are great. I don't. I wasn't alive in the 50s, 60s, or 70s, or early 80s. I don't know what it was like back then when, you know, I don't know if it was, you know, teams were more equal in the sense, or if it was the same deal. I don't know.
Yeah, a little bit more equal back in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s, because the game wasn't as physical as it is today. Today, the game is really physical. You know, you see all the pushing and grabbing and tugging and holding on everybody's jersey. Back then, they just played the game, and you couldn't really foul a guy. If you hit him or came close to hitting him, you'd be called for a foul. It doesn't happen that way anymore. If you can grab somebody, you can toss them down, and you can still be okay. But that's the way the game has evolved into. It's just evolved into a much more physical game, and I don't think that's great for the game, but people seem to like it. They love the physical play.
Well, that's why I like hockey. It's nice and physical. Yeah, I mean, anyone who's ever watched a basketball game within the last, I don't know, 10 years, just as an example, I mean, everyone knows that your high-profile players, you know, they usually get their way on the court regarding the refs for the most part, you know, and it's just, that's why I have difficulty watching the NBA. The calls are so inconsistent.
Yeah, they are.
It's just sometimes you just walk up out of the room and you just turn off the TV because you can't stand what you're seeing. You know, that kind of goes a little bit with some other sports too. But yeah, I mean that's another issue with basketball. It's I guess you're right. It's, you know, it's much more physical in the sense of, you know, that way. But then also, that's made the calls more inconsistent probably because of that.
Yep, the time now is 20 minutes before the hour of 2 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
When a family member is obese, the effects are sometimes felt by everyone in the home. Well-meaning parents, spouses, siblings, and kids struggle with how to help, but sometimes their best efforts do more harm than good. I'm Celeste Headley, Families and Fat. Next, Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming your way at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Thanks for joining us today. For the rest of the day, look for partly sunny skies and a high in the mid-40s. Then in comes the rain tonight. Isolated thunderstorms. Some storms may produce heavy rainfall, a low in the mid-30s. Light rain until midday Friday, then a good chance of showers by afternoon, and a high in the lower 50s. I'm Kevin Lavery.
Well, we've got tickets to give away, so let's get the number out there now so you can register. We've got a couple of pair of tickets for Michigan State hockey Friday and Saturday night, and we've got two pair of tickets for the home game coming up on Sunday, Michigan State and Nebraska. So you've got a chance to win yourself a pair of tickets. We've got two pair of tickets to give away for basketball and two pair of tickets to give away for hockey Friday and Saturday night. So give us a call at the area code 517 8 8 4 517-884-4783. That's 517-884-4783. Your chance to win tickets on Michigan State hockey. Now, Aaron, I didn't get a chance to watch the program. I really wanted to watch it last night. I wanted to watch that Lance Armstrong program because, you know, we knew and I've known for a long time that he's been a longtime user, even though so many people in our country denied it and took his side. And I was just never one of those who took his side or believed that he wasn't guilty. There was just too much information out there that we saw that Lance Armstrong was guilty. But did you get a chance to see his program last night?
No, I didn't. What channel was it on?
Showtime.
Oh, no. I unfortunately don't have Showtime, but no, I wasn't able to watch it.
And I guess I'll try to get it tonight or the next couple of nights because I really wanted to see and hear what he has to say. I mean, I'm assuming he made some kind of confession. I mean, he's been denying so long, and then he's finally come out and saying some of the things that he did, and sad to say. Also sad to say is Robert Griffin III's his injuries that we haven't talked about it a lot, but Robert Griffin, RG3's injuries could be life-threatening. That's for sure, and hopefully they're not life-threatening. That's all we can say. Hopefully, he'll do a lot of hard work rehabbing, and that's the thing. If he does a lot of hard work rehabbing, hopefully he'll be okay. And I just got a question. I'll let you answer this question, too. It says, Earl, would you have voted in the steroid players into the Hall of Fame? Why or why not? So I'll let you, when you get your time, I will say no, I would not have voted in the steroid players into the Hall of Fame. I believe that players should play the game clean and should do it to the best of their ability for as long as they can. But what would you have done? Would you have voted for the Hall of Fame for those players, or would you have said no, or would you have voted for them? Okay. And we're getting another call coming in, and we'll see about that. But I would have been one who would not have voted for them for all the Hall of Fame players. Just too many of them. Maybe in years come, and I don't even know if I would do it in years come. I guess I'm just an old curmudgeon, but that's it. Well, let's see. Well, we got Dennis on the line. Let's see what Dennis has to say. Dennis, how you doing?
Well, you are an old curmudgeon, no doubt about it.
Yes, I am. I make no apologies for it.
Yeah, all the time you spend investing in it, you might as well claim it, right?
Uh-huh.
Hey, Earl, I want to follow up on Steve Morgan's conversation yesterday.
Okay.
I don't dispute his assertion that the SEC, particularly Alabama, does a better job training their players.
Mm-hmm.
I think that could be a marginal explanation for why the parent performance on the field is so much superior to other conferences.
Yeah.
But in looking at, as I do year after year, you know, Drew Sharp notwithstanding, when I look at the mid-level Big Ten teams against the mid-level SEC teams, I see scant difference. USC, South Carolina, and Michigan went toe-to-toe. That game could have gone either way.
Yeah.
Northwestern won their game.
Mm-hmm.
The Nebraska-Georgia game was very competitive. I just don't see, like, a better type of athlete on the field like I used to see. Now, where I do see a big advantage, and I hardly ever see this discussed, is the SEC's blatant oversigning of players every year. The impact on that, Earl, can't be understated. What happens is when the SEC teams take an extra 5 or 6 players every year over that maximum 25-player threshold that you're supposed to adhere to in terms of scholarships that you can have per year, it takes a Big Ten team 5 years what an SEC team can do in 4 years in terms of building a roster. Do you see my point?
Yes, but I know they've had to scale back on that rule because a lot of people like Big Ten and other conferences have made an issue of it, and supposedly the SEC has really scaled back on that rule.
They haven't, Earl. What they do now is rather than just bluntly cutting players,
uh-huh.
the players are all of a sudden just given a medical a medical scholarship or medical red shirt, saying that they're not healthy enough to play, or they're pretty much encouraged to find another way to pay for their scholarship. Now, you won't see the week before practice starts, a kid is told as he unpacks in his dorm room that he doesn't have a scholarship anymore, which used to happen just a couple years ago.
Yeah.
But they're still doing it, Earl.
Okay.
In the spirit of the rule, they're violating it. So when you have a Big Ten, a roster turns over every 4 years, the SEC is able to turn over the equivalent of 5 years in that four-year period. So when you take your three, four, and five-star players, and you have five or six, which happens at every school, who either is bugged by an injury or just doesn't meet expectations. He's not the player that the school thought he was when they evaluated him, or he's at a position where there's not a lot of need. They can just get rid of him.
Right.
And so, you know, I'm not a Notre Dame fan, don't get me wrong, but they don't do that. Mm-hmm. And the Big Ten schools and much of the country doesn't do that. So when you start talking about the SEC and their superiority, just keep in mind, they kind of run it like a pro training camp where other conferences don't. That could be one of the biggest factors in my mind for their apparent superiority.
Yeah, because, yeah, they do they do seem to have a big edge that way, because like you say, when you look at their whole teams, and they have so much depth, that's what always gets me. They just have so much depth on their roster.
Yeah, absolutely. And it comes from somewhere. I know they're good at training. I know they're good at evaluation. But there's got to be an explanation why they have so much depth year after year. And I hate the old bromides about they cheat and they do that. You know, a lot of schools cheat. All over the country, a lot of schools cheat. And a lot of schools bend the rules. But oversigning is something that you just can't minimize. And when you're building a roster the way the NFL does, you know, you draft in some new guys and you cut some dead weight from the previous year. You can do that a lot faster if you can go year to year rather than every 4 years like you do in the Big Ten.
Yes, that's for sure. Hopefully, we'll get down to it. At least maybe someone out there will have the guts to talk about it. I guess if they think they got a shot at getting a job in the SEC, we'll never hear about it. But maybe one day some coach out there who can be a coach in the Big Ten or the Big 12 or something, maybe someday we'll hear something about it. But I don't hold out a lot of hope about hearing about it. Just maybe we will.
Mm-hmm. I don't either. In fact, word around the campfire is a certain school to the south of this state, which has a former SEC coach running it now, is starting to do it there too. So I think the more things change, the more they stay the same in some aspects. But we'll see.
Okay, that's for sure.
All right, I'll take care.
Hey, thanks a lot, Dennis. Okay, the time 48 minutes after the hour, 1 o'clock, and don't know. Did we get out? We did run our other promo. Okay, that's it. 48 minutes after the hour, 1 o'clock. Give us a call. Talk more sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. One thing I've often said and still say, you know, Dennis, because even though I like to go to pro games and such and college games as much, I still like high school sports, high school basketball, high school football. I like the more – it's just pure. I just think that there's a little bit more purity at the high school level than at the pro level. In some areas of the country, we know that they run pro-level sports at high school. But for the most part, high schools are still pretty clean. And I do love watching high school sports. Hopefully, they'll stay clean. Hopefully, they won't be poisoned like a lot of them are poisoned. That we've seen around the country. Well, let's go to the phones, and we've got Dave on the line. Dave, how you doing?
Earl, how are you?
Okay.
Let me ask you this. I don't know. Have you talked much about the Rob Parker situation?
Not a lot. No, a little bit, but not a lot.
Okay. Well, I certainly wouldn't defend the comments that he made. I'm a little uncomfortable with him being fired from ESPN, though, for those comments, because, after all, he didn't make racist statements against another race. You know, he didn't criticize white people or Hispanics or Jews or Arabs or any other race. You know, he had some rather disgusting opinions kind of within his own race, basically that if somebody has a white fiance that they're not black enough. And I think it's a ridiculous comment, but is it a fireable offense? That I'm not so sure about. Actually, I think what he did to Kirk Cousins was a lot worse. That probably was a fireable offense.
Yeah, I heard some of the stupid comments he made about Cousins, which was totally off base. But Rob is one of those guys, and other people when we talk to about the media, one thing that he always does, he always has tried to bring attention to himself. And bringing attention to himself this time got him a little bit too much trouble. But he's one of those guys that always brings a lot of attention to himself.
Right. But another thing I would say, Earl, is that there's a lot of people out there who are celebrating the fact that he got fired. They think it's the greatest thing in the world. And yet, do those people ever say a word about somebody like Bill O'Reilly? I don't know if you saw the comments that he made when he had dinner with Al Sharpton at a soul food restaurant called Sylvia's in Harlem. And he said something like, "Wow, I was surprised. These black people in there were just eating like regular people. They weren't screaming, hey, MF-er, get me some iced tea." You know, it's unbelievable. That kind of thing goes on and on and on, and nobody says anything. And I think the people who celebrate the firing of Parker on the one hand and then say nothing about that kind of incident, they reveal a lot about who they really are.
Oh, but that's America. That's the country we live in, Dave. You know, there are a lot of people in this country that, you know, are very ignorant to a lot of different issues. Some they'll comment on and some they won't. A lot of them, we just won't get to hear comments from them. But this is America, and you have the right to say or not say what you want to say. And we get a chance to go with that each and every day.
Yeah. Well, I think it might be interesting if you brought Rob back on the show and asked him about some of those comments and, you know, even took some calls and allowed the callers to challenge him a little bit.
Yeah, we can try to get him on. We'll see. I don't know if he'd be reluctant about coming on now, but I'll give him a call and see what he says. I know my son has his number, so he probably talks more with my son than he talks with me, but I might be able to get him to come on.
Okay. By the way, Earl, what do you think about this Michigan basketball team this year?
Hey, they've got a good team, 16-0. The thing I wonder about Michigan, are they as good as they've been hyped up to be? They've got a ton of hype this year, and I'm still wondering, are they that good? And I'm just not sure. I know they're a good team, but how good are they? And I guess we'll find that out when they start playing these a lot tougher in the Big Ten games and start playing a lot of these more tougher Big Ten teams. We'll find out how good they are. I know they're a good team, but how good are they? I just don't know.
Earl, I'll say this. Their next two games are at Ohio State and at Minnesota.
And that'll tell a lot.
Those, yeah, that, you know, it's going to be a really special season.
Yeah, they beat both those teams. That'll tell a lot about them. So, yeah, they just going to have to start winning all these games. And you know, because the Big Ten is tough. When you look at the 12 teams in the Big Ten, you can say 10 out of the 12 is tough. There are only really two cupcakes in the Big Ten, Nebraska, basically, and Iowa for somewhat. But other than that, you got 10 really good teams in the Big Ten this year.
I'm not so sure it's that deep. I don't think Northwestern's nearly as good as what they were, and I'm not sure Penn State is very good.
Yeah, Penn State, I was going to say. Nebraska and Penn State are the two weakest teams in the league, that, in my opinion, right now.
And I'm not sure Purdue's all that good either. I think Iowa might be a little better than you gave them credit for.
Yeah, they might be in Penn State, too. I mean, they're teams that some teams just play better at home than they do on the road, as you know. And
yeah, for sure.
And that's the thing with them. They've got a lot of teams that play very well at home. I wouldn't want to meet them on the road at any place because so many of these teams just don't play that well on the road.
Yeah. Well, I think Michigan's for real, and I mean you're right to question their schedule so far. It hasn't been real tough, but the way they've dominated.
Yeah, they've dominated a lot of people. They have.
Yeah.
And yeah, and we'll just have to wait and see. Are they that good as they've been made out to be and played? And they've played some pretty tough teams. And we know John Beilein's a good coach. He's got a good system there. And he seems to have everybody on the same page, which is good for him. So yeah, for Michigan fans, I mean, I just don't know if I would be gloating all so much right now. I think I'd just have to wait a while and just see if they're really that good.
Okay, that's fair. I'll give you that.
Okie doke.
All right. Okay. Take care, Earl.
Okay, talk to you later, Dave. And that's our good friend Dave from Arizona. And we've got a few other things to talk about. We've got about 5 minutes left. And Aaron, are we getting many calls for the tickets?
Yeah, we're getting a few. I'm going to go ahead and pick the winner now, so we'll go ahead and do that.
Okay. We got the two, one for Friday night in hockey, one for Saturday night in hockey. So which one do you want to take first?
Yeah, but I still got to pick him yet, so I'll give it to you in just a sec.
Okay. We'll do that. And then we got two tickets for hockey, for basketball, both those tickets for basketball. So we've got plenty of tickets to give away for fans. So if you want hockey or basketball tickets, just listen to us right here every day at WKAR. We'll give them away at times. We'll have tickets to give away. We'll give them away, give them to you, and let you win some tickets, either basketball or hockey. It's fun, and we like to do it. And give you a chance. And what really makes the day for us when we get comments from those who love going to a basketball game and football game and have never gone and they've just gone for the first time and they've really enjoyed it. So what have you got over there for us, Aaron?
Well, since we have so many pairs to give away, Joe from St. John's and Larry from Jackson are our hockey winners. So congratulations to them.
Yes.
And Steven from Okemos and Chris from Lansing are our basketball winners.
Okay, so we've got four. And congratulations to all of our winners. And Aaron will be calling up shortly after the show is over and let you know where to come to pick those tickets up at. And we want to once again thank you all for calling. And we'll be giving away more tickets during this basketball and this hockey season and give you a chance to win more tickets, as we like to do around here, give you a chance to be fans and winners right here on AM 870. Yes, we're a public radio, but we're a public radio that can actually able give you a little something. We're not one of the most poorest, destitute public radios. We have a few things that we can give away to you. So we try to give you some things from us from here at WKAR.
Yeah, well, they're not the prime time. You're going to be sitting by the coach seat. So let's not hype it up that much. But nonetheless, hey, they're tickets and they don't cost anything. So that's
right.
Always,
they're
that's
free.
Always a good thing.
Yep, they're always free. That's what I always say. I don't care if somebody gives me some free tickets, I'm taking them and I'll be there.
Yeah, you can't. someone around my age too. The free is a word that usually that's. That's usually pretty good, and I can be there, especially when it comes to food as well. So that's always a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's funny how in sports, free is thrown around a lot, even though there aren't a lot of free tickets or free accoutrements that you can buy. But that word is always tossed around a lot, even though a lot of not very much is given away for free.
No, that's true. My dad always had an old saying. I'm sure he didn't coin it by any means, but obviously nothing is free because you still got to, if you go to an event, if you win some big tickets, maybe to a Super Bowl or something, well, guess what? You still got to be put up in a hotel. You still got to be pay for parking. So there you go. Nothing is free.
Yeah, that's true, and that's what we'll say. Nothing is free, but hey, if you win some, just enjoy it, take it, and have that advantage. And we hope that you enjoy the fun. Hey, we want to thank all of you for listening. thank you all for calling, and come back and join us tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll be joined by a Detroit news reporter, Terry Foster, columnist from Detroit News, and talk to Terry about sports coming up right around here in the state of Michigan. So give us a call tomorrow and talk to us about Terry, with Terry Foster, about some of the issues in the world of sports. So we want to thank each and every one of you. You've been listening to Michigan State University Radio, AM 870, WKAR, East Lansing. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. Have yourself a very safe and a pleasant evening.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870, WKAR.